Hey guys, thanks for joining me for this 33rd episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guests for this episode include Bassem Yosef, his new children's book, The Magical Reality of Nadia. We'll also visit with comedian and actor Tommy Davidson about the new ABC News series, Soul of a Nation. We'll also visit with the legendary Bonnie Tyler about her latest, The Best Is Yet to Come. And we'll visit with solo Texas country artist Jack Tidwell, talking about his solo debut single, I Am an Outlaw. Of course, if you would, please take the time to subscribe, drop a like, leave some feedback, and of course, share with your friends. Well, do you like peanut butter more than the chocolate in Reese's Peanut Butter Cups? Well, let's see if you like it this much. Reese's just announced a new type of peanut butter cups that are all peanut butter, no chocolate. So it's a peanut butter shell with peanut butter filling. It's like eating a scoop of peanut butter, but molded into a weird shape and, well, with way more sugar. And it turns out they're going to hit stores next month. Well, our first guest is Bassem Yosef. His new children's book, The Magical Reality of Nadia. Appreciate you taking some time to be on the show.
It is lovely to be on the show, and good morning, Oklahoma. Chris Paul is a favorite of mine because he is on a plant-based diet, and I am also vegan, so I love Chris Paul, and I love Oklahoma Thunder.
There you go. Now, Bassem, tell us a little bit about, you've done comedy, you've done some podcast, social media type stuff, and got your first children's book based on your daughter. And tell us a little bit when the idea to write about your daughter, to write a children's book first came to you.
So I've been talking to Scholastic about writing a book, and then I don't know where it came from. It's like, why don't you write a children's book? And I was a little bit, you know, surprised in the beginning, I didn't know if I would do it. And then I thought, like, basically all of our problems as adults, how we deal with each other, comes from the fact that we don't deal with that in childhood. So I thought maybe to write a book that has our adult problems, but how it starts in childhood. So I wrote the book inspired by Nadia, my daughter. What does it feel like to be an offspring, a son or a daughter of an immigrant parent in today's America? And it's not on the nose. It's not preachy. It's just like a very, very sweet tale of friendship and magic. So I have Nadia having like problems with her school, and now I kind of created this character, which is like the genie of Aladdin. He's like an ancient Egyptian teacher who was cursed into oblivion for 2,000 years, and then he comes back to life, and he helps her through these magical journeys into history and into time. And then suddenly, Nadia starts to have a better perspective about her life today. And it's full of, as I said, it's full of magic and history and adventure, and it's I enjoyed really writing this book a lot.
Now, Bassem, for you, writing a story of an immigrant family, is sometimes some of the hardships that you face obviously make you a little stronger, but do they make you appreciate some of those rough times you had first coming in?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, again, this is not just like a book for immigrants. This is a book for everybody. I mean, even in the book, Jason, who is, you know, a child who's like from a white family. At the beginning, he doesn't understand, he's misinformed, but like he comes around and we discover that his family went through the same hardship, but much earlier. People forget that this country was built on the shoulders of immigrants, not just from Africa, from Latin America, from Europe. And at a certain point, apart certain families from Europe, like Irish families, like Italian families, had to come and face the same hardship that maybe some of the families that come now from Africa or Latin America face. So it's just like a reminder that we've been all at this point, at a certain point of time, we were in this point. And by Jason understanding what Nadia has to go through and understanding his own history, he develops a much better understanding to Nadia's life. So, and I said, like, again, we don't use, like, you know, it's not very direct. It's like we use really, really interesting stories. stories from history, especially from ancient Egyptian history, which is, I think it's interesting to look back at our history to understand how can we be informed about our future.
Now, for you, Bassem, a question that I can't connect the dots. I'm not real good at connecting dots, apparently. You went from a heart surgeon, then went into political satire. I mean, where was the line? How did you go from one to the other? Where was that transition? How easy was that?
Well, I don't know how it came along. I mean, to tell the story now, it seems to be a little bit imaginary. I was just like a doctor waiting to come here to America to continue with my medical training. And then suddenly there was a revolution. And then suddenly I made these YouTube videos making fun of the state-run media who was misinforming the public. And then one thing led to another. And then the YouTube videos became viral. And now I'm hosting a TV show on the biggest networks in the Middle East. So basically, you couldn't really write that if you wanted to. I don't know how it happened.
And for you to be able to use that opportunity to help others make good life change, and I know the web series Plant B, for you, how rewarding is it to be able to share information with folks that maybe wouldn't have given you the time of day before?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's people who didn't really like my political message, you know, making fun of authority, but now they follow my plant-based diet routine. As I said in the beginning, I love Chris Paul because I met him in a conference. And he turned plant-based diet like a couple of years ago, and he said that it has improved his recovery time and his performances. And I help people kind of like do better choices. And I have so many messages from people who had diabetes or cholesterol, and they said, like, thank you so much for changing our life. It just made a huge difference for us.
That's awesome. Now, again, the new book, The Magical Reality of Nadia, and Bassem, I want to make sure and let folks know not only where they can find more information about the book, but then everything you've got going social media-wise as well.
Yes, I am on Instagram at Bassem, and my website is bassemyusuf.xyz.
Easy enough. Now, Bassem, what was the biggest thing you learned from 2020 that you're taking into 2021 and forward?
That sometimes when you belong to an ethnicity that is always in the news, it's always nice to have a pandemic so we're off the hook for a while.
Oh, man, that's good stuff. Man, man alive, that's words to live by right there, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, man, thank you again, Bassem Yusuf. It's been great to visit with you this morning. Hope you have a great rest of your week, and hopefully we can catch up again real soon.
Thank you so much.
Well, on one hand, this woman's facing some serious criminal charges, but on the other hand, I bet she got at least 15 likes on Instagram, so it's totally worth it, right? Well, there's a 34-year-old woman named Erica Farmer in Gulf Shores, Alabama. She recently sold her neighbor's goat, painted it, then took a bunch of photos for social media. Now, the goat's owner figured out what happened and called the cops, and they found the goat at Erica's house. And now she's looking at a felony charge for livestock theft. She's also looking at a charge for animal cruelty as well. Well, up next is our good friend, actor and comedian Tommy Davidson. We'll be talking about the new ABC News series, Soul of a Nation. Tommy, always good to visit with you, brother.
You too. You too, man. Always.
And Tommy, I know when you get on the phone, I know you got something else occupying your time, and I'm excited about this ABC News series, a short-run series called Soul of a Nation that's going to premiere tonight. And Tommy, tell us a little bit about this project and how you got involved in it as well.
Well, I just got, you know, like the sweet universe is good to me. You know, I got called by the powers that be and said, we want you to be a part of this Soul of a Nation, which is a show about African Americans now and our view on America and America's view on us, and a nice good look at our fellow American. And when I say our fellow American, me being an American, and then you go dash African American, then you go dash Italian American, dash Polish American, dash Asian American, and on, you know. And it's just really a good opportunity to take a look at, you know, the humanity in our country that seem to be skewed by this ugly thing called racism, which is an ism, and not a wasm. Yeah. And it just rears its ugly head, pushes everybody into their corner, and all of a sudden we think we're in a 15-round fight, and we're not. You know, we've battled these things before on Omaha Beach. We battled it, you know, during the Civil War. We battled it, you know, and the people united, like my mother, says, will never be defeated. But, you know, he who has a friend must first show himself friendly, you know. And this is what this is about, knowing our neighbor. And this is a really good opportunity for the whole of America to take another look at a whole of America, or a whole in America. How about that?
And Tommy, I think this is kind of something we talked a little bit about last time we visited, when you wrote the book, talking about your experiences as well. It's a different kind of racism that you're seeing, maybe a little bit from both sides as well, right, Tommy?
Yeah, you know, when I discovered that I was black and my family was white, and that they weren't beige like the crayons, and like I wasn't brown like the crayons, I knew that there was something wrong with the way that people saw each other, you know. And so I delved in from that time when I was 6 years old, you know, that broke my heart, you know, that people could hate each other because of the color. And so I had to go to some determinant factors and study and see why do people do this, you know. And I discovered that the worst color was green. And that's what separated us, you know? Boy, if this person has it and that person doesn't, or that person wants it and this person is moving it over here, that causes a lot of stuff, you know? And so that was my discovery on it.
Now,
and so, and that, then again, that's my dimension.
Right.
You know? But it really is, if you think about it, it really is the human dimension, because we all want the same things, you know, good food, fresh water, education for our children, protection from an enemy, you know, shelter, love and kindness. Am I wrong?
Nope. You hit it on the head, my friend.
Yep. And so we're all working to bring those things into focus, you know, and so it may be, you know, at one time it may be the Irish starving from potatoes, man. And needing somewhere to go, you know? Or it may be African Americans that came here and worked tirelessly with no pay, you know? It may be some poor chaps from Sicily that just didn't have anything and went over to Easter Island, you know? And that goes on and on and on, doesn't it?
It's a never-ending battle, isn't it?
A group from Honduras right now walking through the jungle trying to get here. It goes on and on and on, you know, but so does community, so does love, so does systems that work for people, systems that work for all. And that's the banner that was stuck up on the sign when this place came to be. But in the small print, there's a lot of stuff that we've got to put a magnifying glass on, or the same stuff is going to happen.
That's right. And the groundbreaking series premieres tonight at 10 Eastern, 9 local time, again on ABC, Soul of a Nation. And Tommy, I always want to make sure and let everybody know where they can not only find out more information about that, but everything you got going on, books and everything as well.
Oh, that me, The Real Tommy Cat on IG. The book, Tommy Davidson, Living in Color, What's Funny About Me, available on Amazon. And also now Walmart, now Target. I have an audio book as well. Go online, just punch in the name of the book, Tommy Davidson, Living in Color. It will be right there. It is a good thing. It came from my mama's heart, you know, who had heart to find me and to bring me to you guys. What could be better?
That's right. Well, Tommy, always great to visit with you, my friend. I hope you have a great rest of your week and looking forward to the premiere tonight.
Thank you. Appreciate you, man.
Well,
if you're someone's boss, try mixing these phrases in just a little more often. Because according to a recent study, it can up morale and make people work harder. 2,000 employees were asked to name the top phrases that they'd love to hear from their boss, and here are the top five. Number one, thank you. Number two, I appreciate you doing that. Number three, that was helpful. Number four, your time is valuable. And number five, you went above and beyond on this. Now, a few more that made the top 10 include how are you doing, well done, that's exactly what we hoped you'd do, and I know how busy you are. Well, our next guest is legendary singer, Bonnie Tyler. Got a new work we'll be talking about. The best is yet to come. First off, Bonnie, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Oh, I'm more than happy to be on your show. Thank you.
Now, Bonnie, tell us what it's like to be releasing new music in the times that we're living in right now.
Well, I was given these songs. I couldn't do anything else but record them. They just excited me so much. I just love the songs so much. You know, the whole album is very uplifting. You'd think it was written before COVID, but after COVID, I mean. But no, it was ready to come out last April. But now it's coming out because the best is yet to come, and it will be after we've all had the vaccine and we can get out there on tour again, you know. But I'm just in love with the songs. It's a very uplifting, joyous album. And I couldn't wait to get in the studio with David Mackay and do it, you know. Just awesome.
Now,
I got tremendous songs for this album.
Now, Bonnie, how much different was the process this time around for you? I mean, how much did you have to change for the recording process?
Well, this time I didn't do it live with all the musicians. I put my vocal down on the tracks, you know, and then the backing vocals were put on by Miriam Stockley, and you know, the famous American girl that does the most stunning backing vocals. She did them in her own studio in Florida, I think, you know. And so it's great working with David Mackay because he works at home in his studio at home, you know. And he has a fantastic work ethic. He starts really early in the morning, like about 7 o'clock. I'm not a morning person, so he normally does some of the other stuff before I get there. And then when I get there, which is normally about 12:30 midday, and then once 5:30 comes, it's down tools. Come on, let's open a bottle of champagne and or the wine or whatever, you know. And his wife cooks a gorgeous meal. And it's all part of having fun while you're working, you know. But, I was so thrilled. Steve Womack wrote about 4 songs on the album, maybe 5. Desmond Child. I phoned him up. I said, I'm in the studio making a new album. Have you got any new material for me, you know? So within a few days, he sent me an awesome song called Stronger Than a Man. I love the line in it that says, a woman's place is anywhere a woman wants to stand. Yeah.
And the best is yet to come for you, Bonnie. Obviously, the times we're living in, we've got to hold out hope for there's better things coming. And the best is yet to come for you to share that message of hope to the fans out there as well.
Yeah, 79 of my shows were postponed into this year and into next year. Next year, I've got 38 shows all over Europe in Germany, Switzerland, France, Austria, Scandinavia, Belgium, you know, with my wonderful band. And when we're going to meet up for the first time for rehearsals, it's going to be so much fun. I'm sure there will be a lot of tears of joy shed on that day because I mean, look at us all. We've all been without our friends and loved ones for all this time. I can't wait.
Now, Bonnie, what is it that you miss most about not being on stage? What is it about the stage or the performance that you miss the most?
I miss my fans. I miss the audience. I miss my crew. and my band, because we're like one big family on the road. Most of my band and crew have been with me for like over 30 years, you know, and the camaraderie of being on tour. And my bass player is always, he's so funny, you know, he makes it joyous as well. And I miss my second family, I call them, you know. And I mean, I've got many brothers and sisters that I'm missing at the moment as well. I've only seen one of my brothers in a whole year, you know. And it's just going to be, the best is definitely coming. We're all going to meet up again. You know, because of the wonderful scientists that have made these vaccines for us just go, you know, I can't wait. I haven't had it yet, but I can't wait to have it.
That's right. Now, Bonnie, if folks want to find out more information about the new album, the video, the single release, all that, where's the best place for folks to find out?
www.bonnietyler.com. It's the official site.
All right. Well, Bonnie,
and go to Amazon to get the record.
That's right. Well, Bonnie, it has been a privilege to visit with you this morning. I truly appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule, and hope you have a great rest of your week and we can catch up again soon.
It's great to get it all out there in America, you know. Fantastic. Thank you.
Well, a new study on health eating just came out, and here is part that caught my attention. When it comes to fruits and vegetables, don't overdo it. Now, researchers followed the eating habits of more than 100,000 people for 30 years, and the ones who ate at least 5 servings of fruit and veggies a day lived longer. But they also found that 5 is the upper limit. More than that won't hurt, but it also doesn't help. The perfect amount is 3 vegetables and 2 servings of fruit a day. Now, people who ate that combo lived longer than people who ate more fruits than veggies. Unfortunately, 1 in 10 people eat that much produce a day. But we should, because it lowers your cancer risk by 10%, heart disease by 12%, respiratory diseases by 35%, and your overall risk of premature death by 13%. Now, not all fruits and veggies count, though. They found that leafy greens make a big difference, but starchy vegetables like corn, peas, and potatoes don't help us live longer. And fruit juice doesn't help either. Our next guest is country artist, singer, songwriter, man alive. Whenever you talk about artists, especially independent artists, Texas artists, you got to be a social media manager. You got all kinds of tags behind his name. Jack Tidwell. And first off, Jack, it's great to have the opportunity to visit with you.
Yeah, same here, Cameron.
Now, Jack, tell us a little bit about, I know music for you, you knew it early that music was your calling. Who inspired you at the beginning and got you introduced into music?
I would say that's definitely my dad. He had always played guitar and multiple different instruments and was into a broad variety of music. And I think I was like 13 or so. And I said, hey, I want to learn how to do that. So it all kind of started back then. And I think as soon as I learned a few chords, the first thing I wanted to do was start writing my own song. So it kind of all fell like that.
Now you didn't peak early in the songwriting, did you? And you're just going downhill now, right?
Hey, whatever you think, man, you tell me. No, I'm just kidding. Hopefully the peak isn't here yet.
That's right. Now, Jack, I know that you were part of a Red Dirt band over the years and gone out solo wise. How much different is the experience doing it for yourself as opposed to a part of a group, if you will?
You know, it's been 100% different, I would say, because it really does all become about your preferences and of your style and a focus on you and your name and seeing your name on t-shirts and koozies and stuff, as opposed to every decision you make, business decision, artistic decision, having to consult 3 or more other people, you know, it's totally different. It's been a new experience for me for sure.
Now, growing up, I we mentioned this before, from Marlow, Oklahoma. I mean, you're one of us. You're one of us Southwest Oklahoma boys. How did getting a start, I know that was Stillwater, was that where you really got an opportunity to really get some playing time?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a long story, but to make it short, yeah, before I left Marlow, Oklahoma and graduated high school, I was playing wherever I could. I played in church a little bit, and I played with some older mentors of mine that played bluegrass, and we went around and played some bluegrass shows at places. So I kind of got the Southern Oklahoma too young to get into a bar experience there. Then when I got into Stillwater and when I was 18, I moved up there and started running around with guys that wrote songs, and we'd play at parties. And then as soon as we were old enough and they'd let us, we'd start, you know, playing at song swaps and stuff in the bars up there. And I really fell in love with that scene. And I really started taking it serious right after I left Stillwater, which would have been in 2017.
Now for you, who are the artists and the songwriters that inspire you?
It's pretty broad. A lot of the songwriters that really made me know that this is what I want to do and that there is a market for it are guys like, you know, Willie and Waylon and Jerry Jeff Walker for one, but even closer to home, guys like Bob Childers and Tom Skinner, a lot of the old Stillwater guys, they really kind of showed that it's possible. You know, our culture is marketable.
Now, talking Stillwater, you got a little chip on your shoulder now. You got two victories in Bedlam back to back. What's that feel like?
That's been awesome. Hey, and what's up with Saturday and then Monday night? That's almost like a doubleheader.
It was, and I'm not wearing orange for OSU or Texas. It just happens to be the color I'm wearing today. I bleed crimson and cream, so I'm bleeding. It's a lot of pain these last couple games.
I feel you. I've been there a lot.
Now, Stillwater, how did being around Stillwater and that sound, how did that influence your songwriting and your overall approach to music?
As far as the Stillwater sound and kind of the red dirt culture and vibe, I guess I started listening to Cross Canadian Ragweed when I was in eighth grade, you know, and even before that, I had some cousins that lived in Stillwater and were there, you know, an experience in Ragweed as they made it. And then you start listening to them and meeting people that listen to them. And, you know, eighth, ninth grade, I learned about the Great Divide, Stoney LaRue, Jason Bolin. And then even further back than that, kind of the Tulsa rock and roll influence from the 60s and 70s. And it all just starts coming together. You start figuring out why you like the certain type of music and art that you do. And you see the roots, and it helps you kind of figure out what you need to do.
Now, the sound that you've got is a blend of so many different sounds, and being of the young age that you are, I mean, to have an older country sound to what you've got, I mean, how proud are you to represent that sound as well?
I'm really proud to represent it. You know, the only real type of country music that I like is it's a pretty straightforward type of country music. Not that the other stuff isn't good, but that's my preference. And I really felt like for my first single as a self-titled artist, that this song, especially with Milo Deering coming into the studio, a guy that's played on Eagles albums and stuff, to come play fiddle, I really thought that this song was appropriate for me starting my solo career right now.
Well, speaking of it, let us know the story behind "I Am an Outlaw." How that came to you, and how excited you are to have that solo project out there.
Okay, the story behind the song is, you know, I grew up here in Marlow, and one of the mentors that I had that showed me music and how to do things in music was Mickey Hoy, and he was a guy from Marlow that's kind of a legend around here. And he showed me a book called The Fighting Marlows by a guy named Glenn Shirley. And I read that back in high school, and it really inspired me. And I wrote this song 4 or 5 years ago. And it just, you know, I figured it was time to do this and put it out there as my first, like I said, self-titled single. After reading that book, it was a cool story about these guys from their last name is now the namesake for the town of Marlow, and what they went through being kind of persecuted by the law in Texas for reasons that a judge later found were not, you know, they were acquitted of everything. And anyway, this judge at the end of the story made a quote saying that this story is so spectacular that like it needs to have poems and songs written about it. And so anyway, I really felt a connection with one of the Marlow Outlaws. His name was Boone Marlow. And I kind of, with the lonesome on the road music lifestyle, I really kind of connected with him. And that's what led to this song.
So the judge was reaching through the words on the paper and saying, Jack, you got to write this.
That's right. 130 years later, man.
Is that what you're going to play for us today?
Sure. Might have to get this thing tuned up a little bit. There we go. Yeah, so this song's called I'm an Outlaw. Goes out to everybody out there who's felt like this before. Well, I am an outlaw, that's what's said of me. Telling where next will I be. The mountains and prairies are all that I need. Living so wild and free. Hush now, my darling, don't shed a tear. Don't let it worry your soul. If ever you miss me, just look to the stars. Somewhere out there's my home. The days last forever, the nights pass so slow. I'm lonesome wherever I go. I once led a life that was simple to know. For that now I've nothing to show. But hush now, my darling, don't shed a tear. Don't let any worry your soul. If ever you miss me, just look to the stars. Somewhere out there's my home. When my life is over, there's no need to cry. No need to weep when I die. 'Cause I'll live forever in my home in the sky. Forever in the sweet by and by. So hush now, my darling, don't shed a tear. Don't let it worry your soul. If ever you miss me, just look to the stars. Somewhere out there's my home. If ever you miss me, there you go. I'm an outlaw.
That's good stuff.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Now, Jack, in 2020, what's the biggest thing you learned about yourself taking into the new year?
Oh my gosh, so much. What a crazy year, man. I'm still reeling from it. I don't know if I've still figured out everything that changed, but something that I figured out about myself and what you have to have going on is, I guess, the way to do things when times get hard is, for one, you've already got to have your own stuff together. And then for the other, you've got to be able to help and take care of the people that are needing help, you know? And if you don't have your stuff together, you're not going to be able to help the people that you want to. So, it was crazy times, but I kind of had to put my head down and work really hard and focus on what really matters. And I feel like it's about to start paying off, hopefully.
Now, how do you, as you go your debut solo release, I mean, how do you set goals going into the new year and for the new release as well?
I really try to plan stuff out with enough time to get stuff done where we're not rushed. I try to plan out the business part and the money part every step of the way that I'm planning out the operational part, because if you're not making the money to do what you're trying to do, that's going to mess you up too. So I really try to plan stuff out, I guess quarter by quarter and year by year. Like, I've got plans for a few years down the road, a timeline that extends to that. And every quarter I really focus on just trying to plan out my stuff for the next quarter, and that goes all the way to like the stuff I'm writing. Like, man, sometimes you got to take a day off to sit down and write and get this one done if you're feeling it, So that's kind of how I try to plan that out.
Now, when you're writing, I mean, what's the biggest challenge? Is it the starting sometimes, or is it the finally agreeing that you're done with a write? Which is harder for you?
Honestly, when I'm done, I know it's there, because there's so much stuff. I have one cool part of a song written, and I write a couple other parts and I think they're lame, and that sits on the back burner forever. Sometimes you need to, if they're not exactly what you want, fix it, And so I just got to sit down and get it done. Cause I pretty much know when I got a good one down. So I'd say it's the first thing you said. It's getting there, finding the inspiration and being able to compose yourself enough to try to put what you're thinking and feeling into words and music.
Now, what's the biggest, the best challenge song you've had, or challenge story from the pandemic, maybe a Zoom ride or something like that?
Oh my gosh. As far as about a song I'm writing, or just in general?
No, your best pandemic Zoom failure.
Oh my gosh. I didn't quite jump on the bus of, like I should have, of, Cash App in Link type of performances. And a lot of people did really well. And honestly, I think that's because we have a lot of fans and supporters out there that were caring about us at that time. I didn't jump on that train, but a couple things I did do were from venues saying to do an online show through their page. And so I did that a couple times, and one of them was a song swap, and we were actually at the venue, and it was Charlie Hickman, Ryan Oldham, and I at Gushers in Ardmore, and it was just us and the person filming it and putting it on. And it was just so funny to sit around with guys doing a song swap for like a couple hours without any fan interaction. It's all just talking to each other. I don't know if stuff like that will ever happen again. It might be the new normal. Who knows? But that was definitely a funny moment.
Now, being a part of the Texas country the genre or subgenre, there's so many genres of Texas country as well. So welcoming and open. I know you've got to be looking forward to more opportunities to get out and play. Have you had the chance to do any of those?
Well, I was pretty busy the end of this last summer, when things kind of picked back up, and was able to get a lot of stuff done that I needed to, but it was all pretty local to North Texas and Southern Oklahoma. And this winter, it's really been a grind. Really, some of the private events that I've had have helped kind of get me through everything. But, you know, it wasn't just time being open. It was time I've been planning this single and promoting it and stuff. So it's been all right. But March and April are starting to fill up. And I'm hoping here within the next month or two to have the summer pretty filled up, really promoting this song and getting out there and putting out new music all over Texas and Oklahoma and further.
There you go. Well, Jack, I want to make sure and let the listeners know where to find more information about the single, about the upcoming releases and tour dates as those become available as well.
Great. Well, you know, thank you all for having me. I appreciate it. For everybody out there, I'd love it if y'all would go share, like, comment on all my social media posts about I'm an Outlaw. Call your local radio stations, Facebook message them, tell them you want to hear it, request it. I will be most of the tour dates that I have right now are just kind of local Oklahoma stuff and a little bit of North Texas. So that'll be coming up. You can keep an eye on me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. On Twitter, it's at Jack G. Tidwell. And on Instagram and Facebook, it's just Jack Tidwell. You can keep track of what we have going on there. We've got some new merch that's out through CH Lone Star. It's hot off the presses. You can check it out. I have a site that's like my website on the CH Lone Star promo site / Jack Tidwell. So go check that out. I'm an Outlaw is streaming on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, YouTube. You can find it everywhere. If you look somewhere and you can't find it, let me know, because it's supposed to be on all the streaming services. I'll take all the help I can get from everybody. I appreciate y'all's support.
All right. Well, Jack, it's been great to have a chance to visit with you, spend some time. I hope you have a great rest of your week. And I know we'll have to catch up again real soon.
Sounds good, Cameron. I'm looking forward to it, man.
Well, thanks again for joining me for this 33rd episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, a question, or anything else you'd like to know, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, all at GQ with Cam. If you'd like to help out in the funding for this podcast, feel free to click the support tab and follow the instructions. If you have a special guest idea, email me, gqwithcam@gmail.com. Well, again, thanks to Brandon Allen for coming up with the theme music. We're going to let him play us out. Hope you guys have a great rest of your Tuesday. Join me for episode 34 tomorrow. Also, be sure and check out the merch site at tpublic.com and be sure and put in the hashtag GQ with Cam.